Hey, this is Leo for Actualized.org. And in this video, I'm doing an Enlightenment FAQ. I'm going to answer and address some of the most common questions that people have about spiritual enlightenment. And because there are so many questions, this is going to be part one of a multiple part series. This video is intended for folks who have watched my other videos introducing and talking about spiritual enlightenment. So if you don't know what that is, then you probably want to go watch those first because this is not going to make much sense to you. But if you watch those initial videos and you've been following along, then you've probably got a lot of questions about what spiritual enlightenment actually is, and you have a bunch of objections. And you're not quite clear about what the ramifications are of pursuing spiritual enlightenment in your life. One of the real tricks about pursuing spiritual enlightenment is that it's hard to get serious about the journey until you kind of understand where it's going to take you and what it's going to mean for your life. And this is difficult because your ego will concoct all sorts of stories about what spiritual enlightenment will mean. And a lot of these stories are false. And so what I thought would be really valuable is to go through in a no-nonsense way and just clearly address all the most common concerns, all the most common concerns that I hear people out there who learn about this stuff for the first time having, all the common concerns that I've had when I first learned about this. And even to this day, as I'm still learning more and more, I'm getting more and more of my questions answered. And what I find is that when you get these questions answered, then you're able to go off and take this pursuit a little bit more seriously, and also just kind of calms you down, because a lot of the objections and fears that you have will be addressed here in some of these questions that I'm going to answer. There's a lot of these questions because this is a very nuanced subject, right? You have to be very careful about your mind jumping to conclusions about what the truth of no self means. Your mind will tend to want to jump to extreme conclusions and turn this enlightenment thing into this black and white. But it's not black and white. It's a very big gray area. And so we have to tread carefully and use subtlety and nuance and intelligent thinking and reasoning to think about this stuff. All right. So let's just go ahead and jump right into it. So the first thing that people say after they hear the truth of no self is something along the lines of, okay, Leo, so I understand that there is no self. I've watched your videos. You've told me that there is no self. I understand it now. I accept it. What's the big deal? I'm there, right? I got it. I got what you're saying. And the fact is that you don't got it. You got to understand that enlightenment is an experience of what we're talking about here. So the truth of no self, just saying it to you and you understanding it logically, intellectually, philosophically, theoretically, doesn't count for pretty much anything in this work. So the big deal is that it's totally different just theorizing about spiritual enlightenment and this idea that you don't exist and actually living from that place. Right? You got to understand this, that you can live from this place where you actually live realizing that you are not a real physical entity in reality. You're merged with everyone else and everything else in reality. So this is a huge, profound, deep shift in the way that you live your life. So just because you understand what I told you in one of my videos, that's not good enough. That's just like an interesting little fact that you now can tell to your friends. But the big deal here is that now you got to go and actually look for the experience personally. You got to find it, right? It's almost like the difference between talking about being a millionaire. We can talk about it all day long, but unless you actually become a millionaire, you're not going to experience what it's like to be a millionaire. You can't use the money until you actually acquire it. So it's kind of the same thing here. We're just talking about being enlightened, which is not the same thing as actually being enlightened. So this is a very, very big difference that you have to understand, all right? Because if you don't understand this, then you're not going to undertake the journey to study this stuff deeper. And then all you got is you got some mental masturbation going on. You're just thinking about this stuff, but you're not experiencing it. You're not feeling it. And we're not doing this journey so that we have some cool theories that we can tell our friends. We're doing this because we want a real shift in the way that we live our lives. We want a real shift in the way that we perceive life, in our emotional well-being, in our psychology, in our relationships, in every aspect of life. We want a big shift. So until you get that shift, don't assume that you've got it. The next question that some people have is, well, Leo, if the truth of no self is so simple, if the truth is literally that there is no self and that all that there is these perceptions and reality, then how come I can't see it? Shouldn't it just be obvious, like you say? If it's so obvious, why can't I just understand it and see it like instantly? Why do I have to spend 1,000 hours looking and searching? Well, this is a really interesting question. It turns out that your entire psyche has been constructed from the point where you were born and enculturated and raised by your family and grew up in this culture, that your entire environment has shaped your psychology in such a way that your psychology is prevented from seeing it, even though you can logically understand it. And there is this very big difference between logically understanding it and actually seeing it. So why can't you see it? Well, because for you to see it, you would have to give up your notions of self. You can't just say, oh, okay, I understand now. Because what we're doing here is we're kind of undermining the whole paradigm of understanding. The way that you traditionally understand subjects in life, enlightenment is the antithesis of that. And that's a very kind of counterintuitive and unorthodox way to look at life. You've never looked at life this way before. So what's required here is a drastic paradigm shift. It's kind of like looking at an optical illusion and then seeing it flip, right? And in a sense, it almost happens automatically. Like, you can't force it. And part of the problem here is that your psyche doesn't want to see this. So in fact, a lot of the things that you do in your life are actively designed without you knowing it. They're actively designed to prevent the seeing of this truth. So what this means is that we actually have to go in there and dig deep into your psychology. We have to unwire a lot of preconceived notions and beliefs, things you were taught from a very young age. And when you're taught things at a very young age, they tend to just sear into your mind without you questioning them, right? In the same way that a religion is indoctrinated into a child's mind if he's very young, and then it's really hard to get that religion out. It's just seared in there because the mind is very, very receptive and sensitive and just absorbs everything like a sponge when it's young. Well, in the same way, what was fed to you when you were young is this idea that you exist and that you're this personal entity who's experiencing life. So to undo that takes quite a lot of work. It can take a staggering, almost awe-inspiring amount of work to unwire all that stuff, right? This is just how your brain and your mind tends to function. So you have to appreciate that to do this investigation properly. The next question people that ask is, okay, Leo, so you're saying that there is no self. So does this mean that we live in a matrix, like the movie The Matrix? And the answer is no. We're not saying that you're living in a matrix. Think about it. What did the movie The Matrix really tell us? It said that we're living like in a computer simulation, and that everything that we're experiencing, all these sensations, when you're looking at my face and I'm looking at the camera, all this stuff that's happening, well, The Matrix says that none of that is real. That's just like a data pumped into our mind by a computer. And that you can somehow break out of this matrix and then go into reality and et cetera, et cetera, et cetera, right? Well, that's not what we're saying here. In fact, what we're saying is kind of the inverse of the matrix. It's actually more freaky and more counterintuitive than the matrix. What we're saying is that imagine that the movie The Matrix, what happened was that the Matrix itself was real, but the person who is supposedly stuck inside the Matrix, that's a fiction. And what you do is, to break out of the Matrix, you realize that you're not existing at all, but the Matrix itself exists, so to speak, right? The external world exists. It's that you as a personal entity don't exist. Much more counterintuitive and freaky. Much more interesting, much more intellectually fascinating, much more paradoxical than just breaking out of the Matrix. And it's not that we're saying that your physical body doesn't exist. Your physical body exists. It's part of the phenomenal world. What we're saying is that the thing that you think is controlling and looking at the physical body and sensing the physical body, that entity that you call you, that entity doesn't exist. Right? So it's subtle. It's a very subtle point. You have to start to go from the black and white to this gray subtlety. The other question that a lot of people ask is, okay, Leo, so then is what you're saying is that reality is just an illusion? Is that what you're saying? And the answer to this is no. We're not saying that reality is an illusion. Reality, we're saying, in fact, is real. It exists. What you're seeing exists. All the physical objects that are in your awareness, those exist. What we're saying is that there's not a you who's looking at those objects, who's perceiving those objects. So those objects are not the illusion. What the illusion is the you that you think is looking at those objects. That does not make the objects unreal. That makes you unreal, right? This is all about you. It's not so much about the external world. The next question that people have is, well, Leo, you talk about enlightenment as being something other than religion or philosophy. How is this different than religion or philosophy? Isn't it the same? And the answer is that it's very, very different. What religion is and philosophy is, these are systems of thinking about reality. They make certain factual claims about what reality is and how it works. They give you certain explanations and justifications. And it's basically a model of reality. That's what a religion is. That's what a philosophy is. Some of them seem better than others. Some of them seem more true than others. Some of them seem somewhat reasonable. Others seem very ludicrous and far out there and crazy. And it's very easy to confuse enlightenment as just another wacky, crazy philosophy or religion. But it's not. It's really the antithesis of religion and philosophy. And if you think that science is what is the antithesis of religion and philosophy, well, I got news for you. It's actually not. Science is closer to religion and philosophy than it is to enlightenment. So how can this be, and what is enlightenment actually, if it's not a religion or philosophy? Well, see, enlightenment is not a model. It's not thinking about reality. It's not theorizing. It's not putting justifications out there. It's not trying to make sense of reality. It's simply being reality, being one with reality itself. Without mental chatter, the common thread between religion, philosophy, and science is that there's a lot of theory building and mental chatter all the time. You notice it that whenever you're thinking about religion or philosophy or science, you have to be thinking, right? And thinking is an active process. So what's the opposite of thinking? It's not thinking. Now, when I say this, it sounds a little bit simplistic, and you're like, well, not thinking is not a good thing. Thinking is the way that we progress. Thinking is the way that we find truth. Well, that's exactly the paradigm that we're questioning here. What if thinking wasn't the proper way for finding truth, and that thinking, in fact, was separating you from truth? Could that be possible? You have to start to open your mind to that possibility. Once you do, and you kind of distance yourself from thinking, and you start to do a little meditation, you start to do some of these guided enlightenment meditations that I want to put out there. I put one out there so far, and I'm going to put out some more. So What you're going to realize is that, oh, there's something extremely powerful about just being silent, being totally silent and not thinking. And that, in fact, stopping thinking is very, very difficult. The mind wants to rationalize. The mind wants to build theories. The mind wants to claim certain facts about reality. And it's very difficult to stop the mind. When you do stop the mind, something very powerful happens. Basically, you become enlightened. So it's a very, very, very different thing than just another religion or another philosophy. Now, the trick is that you can certainly take enlightenment and turn it into a religion or turn it into a philosophy. And that's something that that's why I'm picking my words very carefully when I do these enlightenment videos. I have to be very careful about what I say, because I could easily say something that will get people to think of this as a philosophy or a theory or a religion. And what that does is that defeats the whole purpose, right? And this is the whole problem with the ego, is that the ego tends to want to theorize about everything. It doesn't want to actually see what's actually there. It wants to theorize about it instead. Even within science, the mind theorizes. It can't just look at something objectively. So the process of enlightenment is just the process of removing all the filters, the beliefs, the preconceived notions, the theories that you have about reality, so that you can actually melt into reality. And when you finally melt into it, then you become reality itself. And that is something that neither religion nor philosophy nor science can offer you. And it's a very powerful, life-altering experience. The next question is, Leo, isn't this nihilism? Isn't what you're really talking about nihilism? And the answer is no, it's not nihilism at all. Nihilism is a philosophical system. And what nihilism says in a nutshell is something along the lines of, life is pointless. There is no importance attached to one thing over another thing. So everything is basically neutral and everything is pointless. So you might as well just not do anything in life. There's nothing to believe about life. That's what nihilism says. Well, nihilism is not enlightenment, because nihilism is a philosophy. Nihilism is a way of thinking about reality. Enlightenment is a way of not thinking about reality at all. There are certain superficial parallels between the two, but one of the key differences is that nihilism tends to lead to this dark, bleak outlook on reality, as though like reality is meaningless and purposeless. Therefore, you should be depressed and kind of sad because there's no point to living. That's kind of the dark nihilism. Enlightenment is actually a light, very positive realization, because what you realize with enlightenment is that, yes, there is no point and there is no meaning to life, but this is actually a very positive and great thing, because the fact that there is no meaning to life itself has no meaning. The problem with the nihilist is that he attaches a dark meaning to the fact that there is no meaning. The enlightened person, he's not doing any mental masturbation. It doesn't matter in his mind that there is no meaning, because you're just reality. Reality just exists for its own sake. And this is a very beautiful realization. Even though when you look at it from a distance, it seems kind of scary and it seems dark. It's actually not dark at all. Another question that people sometimes ask me is, well, Leo, you keep saying that, you know, religion and philosophies, that these are offering stories about reality, but aren't you in this video and all the other enlightenment videos also giving us your story? So how come your story is true while all the other ones are false? It's like you're taking some sort of authority or precedence over your own story. And this is the extremely tricky aspect of enlightenment work, is that everything that I'm communicating to you, yes, it's just a story. It's just another belief for you, right? But you got to see that what I'm trying to communicate to you is not that you should accept my story, but that you should go off for yourself and find what I'm trying to hint at with the story, right? We're using language and we're using thought to communicate this to you. Why? Because the only thing that you really understand and know how to work with is thought. You're stuck in a mental prison of thought. So for me to communicate this to you, how can I do it? I can only do it through going inside and using the flawed mental models that you are under. We have to go inside your mental cage. So think of it kind of like this. Imagine that you're stuck inside the Matrix, like in the movie The Matrix, you're stuck inside the Matrix, and now I have to come and rescue you, and I'm outside the Matrix. How do I rescue you if I'm outside and you're inside? Well, I have to actually get inside the Matrix, and I have to use the falseness of the Matrix to tell you about the fact that the Matrix is false, so that then you can break out. But the danger is that if I come inside the Matrix and I tell you, hey, everything here is false, you have to recognize that, oh, yes, everything here is false, and everything he's saying and he himself is also false. He's not real because he's just part of the Matrix. If I get outside the Matrix, then I can see what's actually real. And so it's kind of analogous to that with what we're doing here, right? I'm using language and communication here because stories is what you understand. The danger is that you will take what I'm saying as another belief system, and you're going to turn it into a philosophy or a theory, and you're going to stay stuck in the Matrix. To break out, what you need to do is you got to say, okay, what's he actually pointing to? All these words, they're just words. There's no truth here in the words. What's he actually pointing to? What's he trying to communicate between the lines? Let me read between the lines and see, and then go out and actually do the thing that he's hinting at and see what happens. Right? So it takes intelligence and subtlety on your part to understand this communication. If you want to be black and white and you want to be very simplistic, what you're going to do is you're going to say, well, Leo, everything you're saying to me is just another story. Every story is just a story. So if what you're saying is that every story is false, your own story is false, and therefore nothing matters, and so therefore I'm not going to do what you say, and I'm just going to stay stuck in my current paradigm. But if you do that, what that is that that's you getting lost in your mental prison. It's like you're a prisoner and I can't come tell you, hey, here's the key to break out. You look at the key and you look at it and you say, this key can't possibly work. This is a bullshit key. And you throw it away, when in fact it was the real key. But because you didn't have the belief enough and kind of the wisdom enough to see that this key could break you free, you don't actually try and use it. And in not using it, you don't break out. So be very careful about this trap. This is a very, very common trap. Next question. Okay, Leo, so if I become enlightened, will this make me strong and powerful? Like, I'm doing personal development to become really strong and powerful in my life. Will enlightenment help me become the strongest self? And this is an interesting answer. The answer is yes, and the answer is no. It's yes in the sense that what will happen is that you're going to be free of your mental prison. You're going to be free of the thoughts that limit you, and you're going to be free of the crippling emotions that sabotage you. And this is the number one problem that people face in life, no matter in what area, whether relationships or business or money or health or anything. It's the emotional and mental blocks that they have. So you're going to be free of those to a large degree. And that will make you strong and powerful. But the other answer here is that it's not going to make you strong and powerful. Why not? Well, the person that asks this question, will this make me strong and powerful? That's an egoic question. Notice that you're asking about, well, will I be strong and powerful? The question is, why do you want to be strong and powerful? And you also have to realize that the you that wants to be strong and powerful, this you is an illusion. It doesn't exist. This is the Matrix that we're talking about. So there is no you to become strong and powerful. You're not going to gain magical superpowers. Why? Because there's no you to control anything. So it's not actually possible in reality for you to have any power or strength at all. So in a sense, what we're going to do is we're going to strip you of all the power and strength that you perceive that you currently have. We're going to strip you of all of it. And this is why it's going to be very emotionally difficult for you, because you don't want to relinquish your strength and your power. You want more of it, not less of it. But counterintuitively, what happens is that if we succeed in stripping you of all your strength and all your notions of power, and you finally surrender to the fact that you have no strength and no power at all, that becomes the greatest strength of all. It sounds like a paradox, and it kind of is a paradox, but this is just how it works. This is just how it works. So if you're going in this with this ego trip mentality of, you know, wanting more control over other people or whatever, you're not going to get that. You're not going to dominate the world through enlightenment. But what you will get is you will get peace, tranquility, and an inner power. Not an outer power where you get to dominate other people, but an inner power where you get to relinquish your sense of self so that, in a sense, you've conquered yourself. And that's the greatest power of all, is the power to conquer yourself. The next question is, Leo, what about free will? Are you saying I don't have free will? If so, it's obvious that I do have free will. Well, in fact, what we are saying is that you do not have free will. Why do you not have free will? Because you do not exist. There is no such entity as a you who can exert will on the material world. This is one of the most bitter pills that you have to swallow with enlightenment, is this idea right here. And I didn't want to accept it for a long time, and I'm still very resistant to it. But the more and more that I pursue this inquiry, the more obvious it becomes that actually free will does not exist. What exists is the illusion of free will. And so a big part of the enlightenment inquiry is breaking down this illusion of free will that you have. Because one of the biggest ways in which you prevent yourself from seeing the truth of no self is by telling yourself constantly that you're in control of your life and that you have control of your hands and your feet and your mouth and your thoughts and your eyes and everything else in your life, that you have control of this stuff. But the fact is that you don't. How can this be the case that you don't, but you think that you do? Well, because what the ego does, and it's a master at this, is that the ego claims control and responsibility for things that do not belong to it. That's the whole game that the ego plays. This is the whole deception, is that your entire life, you've been telling yourself in your head, you've been building this giant story that you are this entity that gets to control everything and look at everything and experience everything. And what turns out to be the case is that this is just false. It seems so obvious, but it's exactly because it seems so obvious that you've never seen the truth before. Because it doesn't even occur to you to question the fact that you could not be in control, that there is no one inside to be controlling this stuff. This one is tricky. This point is tricky. I'll have other videos that go deeper into this idea of free will. I'm not going to really prove it to you here, but basically what you do, if you want to prove this to yourself, is you can actually sit down in a meditative type state and you can start to look for evidence of whether in fact you are able to control your thoughts. The question is, who is controlling your thoughts? Is it you or is it something else? And what you're going to discover if you sit down very carefully, but this takes a lot of practice, so don't think that you can discover this in one day. This takes months and years of work. You sit down in a meditative state very carefully. You try to silence the monkey chatter. And you look. And you look for evidence of where do thoughts come from. Who's controlling thoughts? Am I controlling thoughts? Wait a minute, what am I? Aren't I also a thought? Where did I come from if I'm a thought? Did the thought I create the thought I? Or did something else? And what turns out to be the case is that you can actually, through firsthand experience, come to an understanding of where thoughts come from. And what turns out to be the case is that they don't come from you because you don't exist. But you're not going to fully appreciate this until you actually become enlightened. The next question that people have is, okay, Leo, so if all this is the case, then what's the point of living? You're telling me that there's no point to living then. There's no purpose. Well, the fact is that there is no point to living. The desire to have a point or a purpose for living is an egoic desire. And this is, in fact, something that creates a lot of problems and stress and emotional turmoil in your life. With enlightenment, what you discover is that there is no point. How could there even be sense to talk about a point to living? A point from whose perspective? There is no who to even have a perspective as to having a point or a purpose in life. The fact is that reality exists. Life is flowing. Life is one continuous river, and you're a part of that river. So what's the point? Well, it just exists. Existence doesn't need a point, right? What's the point of empty space? There's no point. It's just there. It's just existence. The ego needs a sense of purpose because it makes it feel significant. This is a problem. This is a problem. Because whenever you feel insignificant, then you have this egoic emotional reaction. So this actually creates a lot of distress and turmoil in your life. The fact that life is meaningless and pointless, don't turn that into an additional meaning of negativity like the nihilist does. With true enlightenment, what happens is that you discover that life is meaningless, and the fact that life is meaningless is also meaningless. So it's really, really deep, profound meaninglessness. It's so profound that the meaninglessness isn't negative anymore. It becomes like a positive. Sometimes I get people asking me the following question. Okay, Leo, so then why don't I just kill myself right now? This is a funny question. First of all, you have to recognize that this is a question that is an egoic reaction, right? So this is a knee-jerk reaction against some truth that you heard. So first of all, recognize that. Second of all, recognize that what we're telling you is that there's no you to kill. And there's no you to do the killing. So when you say you're going to kill yourself, we're saying here is that there is no you to control the process of killing a you. So it's like a double fallacy. There is no you to kill yourself. There is no self to kill. The self is an illusion. It doesn't exist. It's almost as though I said, let me go kill Santa Claus. How do I kill Santa Claus? He doesn't exist. He's a fictional character. You can't kill something that doesn't exist. Also, the reason you want to kill yourself is because you're taking this idea of meaninglessness or selflessness and no self. You're taking this as some negative, nihilistic, problematic thing in life. In fact, it's not problematic at all. It's a beautiful truth. And this truth is going to set you free. But the problem is that you're having an egoic reaction against the truth. Why? Because the ego, the illusion of the ego, doesn't want to dissolve. The illusion wants to stay put. And so therefore, it's going to fight. And so when you say that you want to go kill yourself, in fact, you don't want to go kill yourself. What you're saying is that you're saying that that what I'm telling you is nonsense. Because if what I told you was true, then everyone would kill themselves. Well, in fact, that turns out to not be the case. That's just a emotional overreaction on your part. The next question is, okay, Leo, so then on a practical level, is doing business and having a family life, is that then pointless too, if there's no point to reality? And the technical answer is that yes, it's pointless. I mean, what do you think is the point of a business or a family in the long run? Under your models of reality, let's say you don't accept what I'm telling you. Under your models of reality, what's the point of a business or a family? You might come up with some point, but if you really track it into the very long term, you're going to see that there is no point. Because in the long run, you're going to die. Under your model, you're going to die. And your business is going to eventually go bankrupt and it's going to fail. Even, let's say, if you think it's going to fail 500 years later, okay, 500 years later, it's going to fail. And your family eventually is going to die too. Eventually, the human species will die. Eventually, the whole planet will be incinerated by the sun. Eventually, the entire solar system will be destroyed. Eventually, the entire galaxy will burn out or be sucked into a black hole. Eventually, the entire universe will experience heat death. And eventually, perhaps the whole universe will collapse back into a singularity, which was the initial seed for the Big Bang. So even under kind of traditional scientific models, under your models of reality, if you really think about it, there is no point to business or family. The point only makes sense as like a little trick that you play on yourself. You tell yourself, oh, well, I want to build a nice business, or I want to go create a great family, and I want to leave a good legacy. But the fact is that, you know, no one in your family is going to remember you 500 years from now, just in the same way that you don't remember anyone from your past family that lived 500 years ago. And your business, you know, what's your business going to matter after you're dead? It's not going to matter at all. But even though we say all that, I'm not saying that you should go quit your business and go murder your family or something like this, right? This is ridiculous. The fact is that life has no point, but this doesn't mean that you should now become depressed and not do anything in life. In fact, what this does is this frees you up to now do whatever you want. It's like a playground, right? What's the point of being in a playground and having cool toys and a sandbox? Well, if you got a sandbox, you can build castles and you can have fun and you can experience the joy of building a castle. You can also experience the pain of someone coming in and breaking your castle down and destroying it. Because in the end, no matter what castle you build in the sandbox, that castle will get destroyed. Life is just about being and experiencing. There doesn't have to be a point. Stop trying to grasp and cling for some sense of purpose. That's your ego doing that. That's how it preserves itself. That's a false way of living life. That's a big lie. So in reality, with enlightenment, you can still go out and work on a business. You can still go out and have a family. And all these things you do, why? Because you enjoy them, basically. Once you realize that life has no point and you're not depressed about it, what that practically means for you is that now you're free to do whatever you want, and you're basically going to go do the things you really want to do, and you're not going to do the things you don't want to do. You're not going to feel obligated. You're going to feel to just go and do the things that are pleasurable to you, that are most meaningful to you, even though you recognize that this meaning is kind of a made-up meaning. So that's that point. The next question is, okay, Leo, so then are you telling me that you want me to become some emotionless robot? I'm going to become enlightened, realize this truth of no self, and then I'm going to become this emotionless robot who has no feelings for anybody. Well, this is actually the opposite of what's going to happen. If anything, the emotionless robot is who you are right now. You're not able to presently fully experience and appreciate your emotions because you're like a puppet controlled by your emotions. Your emotions tug and pull at you. With enlightenment, you're going to have emotions. You can't stop emotions. Emotions are a real phenomena. They're not going away. Emotions are not an illusion. We're not saying that. So you're not going to become some emotionless zombie robot. In fact, you're going to be able to feel and experience emotions more richly because now you're going to be in the present moment. Now your monkey chatter is not going to be driving you crazy, and it's not going to be having you living in the future or in the past or in your imagination. You can experience emotions for real. So if you want the most emotionally rich life, you should become enlightened. The other question is, okay, Leo, so do you want me then to become a monk who goes off and meditates in a cave somewhere? Is that the kind of lifestyle you want me to live? And the answer is no. Becoming a monk is a caricature of enlightenment. Not every enlightened person is a monk, and there's no reason why you have to become a monk if you don't want to become a monk. Enlightenment is an inner realization. It's not a lifestyle, and it's not any external behavior. In the same sense that if I was telling you that I want you to learn mathematics, go learn mathematics. And what you tell me is, you tell me, well, Leo, if I learn mathematics, does that mean that I have to become some nerdy college professor of mathematics? I don't want to become like my college calculus professor. He's lame. And of course, the problem with that objection is that, well, just because you learn mathematics does not mean that you have to become a mathematics professor. You can learn mathematics and still live whatever kind of lifestyle you want. Those are two totally different things. How you choose to live your life is separate from what you know and realize about life. Now, some of you, after you become enlightened, might actually want to go out and become monks, and that's great. But you're not going to do it because it's a bad thing. You're going to do it because you think that that's the most meaningful way to live life. Most of you, if you become enlightened, will not want to be monks. You'll live a more normal, ordinary type of life, so you don't have to be afraid of that. This thing about being a monk and not wanting to be a monk, this is like a little red herring that your ego throws out there to say that, oh, well, this enlightenment stuff is just so far out there, it's so ridiculous, it's the kind of lifestyle I would never want, it's a terrible lifestyle, I don't want to be a monk. Right? But that's a red herring. The next question. But Leo, isn't the ego or the self important to my survival? You're telling me to get rid of my ego, but I need my ego to survive in life. So aren't you threatening me and threatening my survival here? And the answer is that the ego and the self don't exist. So part of the illusion here is that you think that your whole life you've been responsible for creating these great results in your life and earning wealth and achieving all these goals and getting into relationships and all this stuff and surviving, fighting for yourself, right? Well, the bitter pill you have to swallow here is that there was no you that whole time doing it. So the ego is absolutely not a part of survival because the ego is not real. So it's not important to your survival at all. And this is a very counterintuitive notion to accept. You don't want to accept this. Why not? Because when we accept this, we basically undermine the entire ego structure. And this is not something that it wants. Because the way that the ego maintains its power is by saying that it's necessary. How does it say that it's necessary? It says that, oh, I'm needed for your survival. But what if that was just a story in your mind? What if it wasn't true? Well, it turns out to be the case that it's not true. But it's going to take you some time to see this. You're not going to see it immediately. And in fact, what you're going to realize later if you go far enough is that your ego and yourself threatens your survival. How can this be? Well, because you do a lot of stupid stuff in your life because of ego. Bar fights, those start because of ego. Wars start because of ego. Violent crimes and theft and criminal activity, those are all ego-based. Those don't exist when you are enlightened. You have no reason to do those things. All those things are just a mechanism to protect yourself. When you realize that there is no self to protect, you don't need to engage in that activity anymore. So actually, your survival will be improved. It's very counterintuitive. This is a very counterintuitive and kind of paradoxical notion. But it turns out that actually, if you want to get to the highest levels of living and thriving in life, you have to abandon your clinginess to the need for survival. Right? If you notice, the most admirable, high-quality human beings in history, who were they? Were they people who were clinging to their survival, or were they people who were actually selfless and didn't even care about whether they survived or not? Right? It was people who didn't care. And counterintuitively, they thrived. Now, sure, some of them died. You know, Gandhi was shot and Jesus was crucified. And so on and so forth. And Martin Luther King was assassinated. So, you know, we have some bad examples, but there are many people who are kind of positive examples. The next question is, Leo, but surely the ego isn't all bad. Surely there are good aspects to the ego, right? And again, this is an interesting one because the ego doesn't exist. When you ask this question, you assume that the self exists, and that somehow, if we remove the self, then not only do we remove the good parts, I mean, the bad parts, but we also remove the good parts. So it's like you're throwing the baby out with the bathwater. And the fact is that there is no baby and there's no bathwater. That's what we're trying to tell you here. So it's not like the ego has good qualities because it's an illusion. It doesn't exist. It's kind of like if I told you, get rid of your notion of Santa Claus. Kill Santa Claus in your mind. And what you said is you said, but Leo, if we get rid of Santa Claus, then what happens to the Christmas gifts? I want to keep the Christmas gifts. Does that mean that there are no more Christmas gifts under the tree come Christmas time? I don't want to lose that. Of course, that's silly, right? Because Santa Claus wasn't responsible for the Christmas gifts in the first place. So all the good stuff you have in your life that you think you're responsible for, maybe your family, maybe your relationship, maybe your children, maybe your business, maybe your house, maybe your car, maybe whatever. Well, I got some news for you, and it's a bitter pill to swallow, but that wasn't created by you. You had absolutely nothing to do with it, even though you told yourself the whole time that you did. So if we remove the you, all that good stuff will still stay. So don't have to worry about that. Next objection. But Leo, what will happen to my motivation levels if I become enlightened? Won't I become this listless, useless slacker who just lays around on the couch, does nothing all day? Well, first of all, there are plenty of people, in fact, probably most people in society who are exactly that, very unmotivated. I have many clients who have struggled with motivation a lot that I coach, right? There's a lot of unmotivated people out there, and they're very, very egotistical, right? So your motivation levels and enlightenment itself, these are connected in a subtle and complex way. The fact is that you might become enlightened and you might lose certain motivations in your life, but generally it doesn't make you a lazy slob. What enlightenment does is it just clears away your neurotic sense of obligation to certain things in your life. So for example, maybe right now you're going to work and you're telling yourself that, oh, I have to go to work. I have to build this business. I have to be successful. I have to earn all this money. I have to prove to people that I'm someone. I have to build a legacy. And then with enlightenment, what happens is that you discover that, oh, I don't need any of that to be happy. And so you just drop that whole business. Now to you right now, that might seem scary because you're thinking like, oh, well, I don't want to drop that business. But see, that's because you still think the business is important to you. When you truly, genuinely see that the business is not that important and that you really don't enjoy doing it and that you'd rather not be doing it and that your authentic self doesn't really desire to be running a business, then you can go off and do other stuff, right? This doesn't mean that you're not motivated anymore. It just means that certain false motivations that are in place right now will disappear. On the other hand, if you really love this business, and it's like a passion of yours, and you think that this is really helping people and it's improving the world, after enlightenment, you might be even more motivated and you might be more empowered to work on this business because there's nothing wrong with running a business. And you're still going to want to do things after enlightenment. You know why? Because your motivation wasn't created by you in the first place. Why? Because you don't exist. So right now, when you tell yourself that you're responsible for creating your motivation levels, well, actually, you're not, because you're not real. So your motivation levels are not coming from you. They're coming from the body and the unconscious mind. And so those motivation levels will still exist. Now, they might shift. But you know what? Your motivations might shift no matter what. If you don't become enlightened next year, your motivations might change anyways. People quit their businesses all the time. People leave relationships all the time. People lose motivation all the time. People gain new motivation all the time. This stuff is just a phenomenon of life and it happens. And it's really not up to you what you're going to be motivated by. So stop clinging to that. The next question is, Leo, doesn't enlightenment contradict self-actualization and self-help? And it'll definitely seem that way at first when you start learning about this, and especially if you've been watching a lot of my videos, you'll see direct contradictions between stuff I've said in other videos and some of these more advanced videos. But you gotta understand that personal development is like a staircase with many steps and stages so that you're moving up as you're growing and developing. What we're talking about here is some of the most advanced stages that you can get to, right? To get to these high stages, you need to work through the intermediate and lower stages. So it's not that enlightenment makes everything else that I've been talking about pointless. Depending on at where you are in your life, some of my other more basic, more practical videos will be very helpful to you. Because remember, you're stuck in the matrix. If you're stuck in the matrix, how does someone in the matrix survive? Well, they eat inside the matrix. They go to the work inside the matrix. They have sex inside the matrix. They get married inside the matrix, and they die inside the matrix. And everything they learn is in the matrix. So they only know the matrix, right? So if I give you a matrix book inside the matrix, it's actually going to be useful to you. Isn't that funny? How if you're living in a fake world, if I give you a fake object in the fake world, it's actually helpful to you. So that's basically what's happening with the lower level videos. For example, if I give you some relationship advice, or if I give you some advice about how to earn more money, you might say, well, Leo, isn't that kind of like fake advice? Well, yes, but what you're living is a fake life. So fake advice for a fake life, it, in a sick way, it kind of works, right? And also, my hope, ultimately, is that by giving you this fake advice, which get you some fake results in your life, that eventually you're going to move up the staircase to the higher levels so that now you're in a place where you can actually really go off and do the deep, advanced work, become enlightened, and then you can look back at all this and you say, oh, all of this was like a staircase that led me to here. And every step, in a sense, had its value. But also, in a sense, every step was kind of like not necessary afterwards, right? It's kind of like building scaffolding to erect a giant skyscraper, and then you take the scaffolding off. Now, the question is, was the scaffolding useful or was it useless? Well, in one sense, you could say it was useless because you had to throw it all away eventually. But in another sense, you say, well, but the scaffolding was actually very essential because without the scaffolding, you couldn't build the whole skyscraper. So that's what some of my more basic videos are like. They're scaffolding. And the last question that I'm going to cover here is some people ask, well, Leo, should I still keep doing self-help or should I stop doing self-help? And this is a little tricky to answer because it really depends on where you are in your progression. Everyone's in a different place. It also depends on what you really mean by self-help. Personally, I consider the things I'm talking about now and enlightenment as part of self-help. So in a sense, if you want to pursue enlightenment, you should keep doing self-help. Also, if you're at the lower stages of your personal development and you're having problems with money or relationships or your career or with whatever else, you know, very basic everyday problems, then you actually need self-help. Because it'll help you to plug those holes so that you can move on to the higher levels. So what I would suggest is that you continue doing self-help, and if anything, do more self-help. Now, there's one warning here, though, is that if you've already done a lot of self-help in your life, and you've already put into place many different aspects, and you've plugged many holes, and now you're reaching the higher levels, now you might be getting to the point where traditional self-help might not be what you need. So maybe you don't need to go read another Tony Robbins book. Maybe you don't need to go take another relationship seminar. Maybe you don't need to go read 100 self-help books, right? After a while, there's like diminishing returns. And after a while, what you really need is after you've built up a healthy ego, you start with a weak ego, you build up a healthy ego, then what you do is you transcend and release the ego. And this can seem a little counterintuitive to some people because some people think like, well, I spent all this time building up my ego and building up my life, and now, Leo, you're telling me to throw it all away. No, what we're telling you is transcend it. Ascend to the higher stages, right? Ascend. There's going to be greater stuff ahead. So don't cling to everything that's coming in your life with self-help. And what I would suggest for you is that stop doing the traditional self-help and move more into the kind of quote-unquote spiritual self-help. Move into that more. Go practice more meditation. Watch and study more of my enlightenment videos or other people's enlightenment videos. If you want to read books, go read some really high quality books on spiritual enlightenment specifically, not just regular self-help. Right? Maybe stop focusing so much on earning more money and having more sex and buying more material objects. You don't need those anymore. You've gone through that phase. Now it's time to ascend to the new phase. So generally, though, I would still continue doing it. Me, I'm still on my journey towards enlightenment. I'm not enlightened yet. And I'm still doing lots of self-help because it's helpful to me. Why? Because I'm living in the matrix. I realize it now that I'm living in the matrix. But for the time being, I'm still stuck in the matrix. Therefore, I still need to eat inside the matrix. I still need to go to work inside the matrix. Right? All right. So that's it for this part one. I'll have other parts coming up in the future. So stay tuned for those. There's a lot more questions to answer. Hopefully this was helpful. Go ahead and post me your comments down below. Click the like button for this video. Share this video with a friend who's interested in enlightenment. And finally, comment, sign up to my newsletter right here. It's a free newsletter at actualize.org. I release new free videos about enlightenment topics, a lot more of those to come. But also, like I said, the more basic, more practical personal development videos. How do you fix your relationships? How do you get more money? How do you build a great career? I'm still very excited about those more basic topics. I think they're very important. So if you're interested in any of that, sign up. There's some free bonuses there. Go sign up right now.